My next guest is the director of the new documentary, Who is Arthur Chu? Scott Drucker teamed up with Wee Goo to create a film that follows Arthur Chu, who was a wildly successful, albeit controversial, winner on the game show Jeopardy. Chu was able to take his fame from that run and parlay it into a career as a writer and almost unofficial nerd spokesperson. He's fighting the evils of the internet. The documentary is getting a lot of buzz. It's going to premiere this Saturday afternoon at the Music Box Theater, 2:30 start. In studio with me tonight, director Scott Drucker. Scott, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, I really, you know, when I saw this movie and I started to see it and be able to figure out what it's about, it was something where I thought it would be about a guy who won on Jeopardy. But it's much more than that. Where does the idea of this come from?
Well, you know, when it started out, we actually didn't really know much about him. We didn't know that much, right? Like, I remember everyone called him the Jeopardy villain. They say he's the most hated person in Jeopardy history,
yeah, right?
Ruined the game show, this iconic American tradition. And I go there for the first time, and I expect this, like, evil, really tough guy. And he just was, hey, I'm Arthur Chu. Nice to meet you. Come on in. Like, I'll get you something to drink. And he was just one of the kindest people I've met. So I think it was really about breaking down kind of that wall, right? And that we often are so quick to make judgments when we see people online or on television.
Right. In
and
public,
paint
right.
this picture, right? But it's not so black and white. And I think, like, we knew there was something more there. And he wanted to speak out about these social issues. And so that's when we realized, okay, I think we have a film here. And let's investigate.
You know, it starts with, I mean, you talk about Arthur on Jeopardy. One of the things he did, and he became iconic for it, was he played the game in a different kind of way. Like, he picked different squares at different times. He was a little bit snarky and sarcastic in his answers to Alex Trebek, which I thought was hilarious. But the idea being that he didn't play the game the way that it's been played before. And in that, you're right. He kind of became a villain in a strange way, and you use a lot of the material in the film to show the Twitter hate and the online hate that was thrown at him. But it was surprising that the way that people sort of responded to him kind of joking around with the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the interesting thing, right? It's like, what is it really? He didn't break any rules. Nothing he was – I mean, he argued with Alex Trebek. That really ticked people off. That's like just a big no-no because it's Alex Trebek. But in reality, it's not – really arguing with Alex. It's just he had a disagreement on some answers and felt pretty strongly on it. But I think that was the question, you know. We wanted to go into the film without this bias, without, like, this is who we think he is who is he? And that's kind of where the title comes from, right? Who is Arthur Chu? And this, of course, there's a lot more to him.
Well, you know, when I saw it, I thought it would be all about that, right? But the movie, the film really only spends the first couple minutes on his experience in Jeopardy. And it starts, I mean, really quick, moves on to Arthur Chu's life. Let's talk about that, because you mentioned that he's a champion of certain social issues. And he was able to actually take his 15 minutes of fame. He says that phrase, his 15 minutes of fame, and be able to use it for good, for positive things, especially when it comes to quote unquote nerd culture or the internet.
Yeah, you know, I think, like, for him, that's his whole objective, right? Like, he wants to do something good with his fame. He wants to do something good. He has a voice now. And that it's interesting to me, like, when you go viral and you get your 15 seconds of fame or 15 minutes of fame, and you have that question, what are you going to do with it? And I don't think anyone wants to be defined by just one thing. And I think no one, especially Arthur, wanted to be defined by just Jeopardy. And I'm this guy who won a lot of Jeopardy, right? And so he calls himself the ombudsman of nerd culture. And this whole film, you see, like, how much he's sacrificing to try to achieve these goals,
right,
and fight misogyny and nerd culture and all these things he's really passionate about, right? But then you kind of realize at some point, like, he has a lot of his own internal battles, and you have to reconcile those first before you could, you know, go out and do more with
that
it.
Becomes the conflict of the film, a lot of his relationships with his family, his father. But as a filmmaker, as a director in a film like this, when you're really focusing on the premise that, hey, this is a guy who won at Jeopardy, people got really mad at him, but he's much more. When you're a documentary filmmaker, when does that conflict kind of come out? In the shooting? I mean, do you start to recognize that he has this relationship with his father and that's really what this film is about? Or is it something that you kind of sniff out before you start?
Yeah, I mean, those are just moments I think you look for. You know, I think you start to see him go through this existential crisis in a way, and trying to just reconcile the relationship not only with his father but with himself as an Asian American. And I think that's something he always battled with, and there's a lot of shame involved in that because he was so sheltered growing up, and here's this young kid trying to assimilate and adapt, and he's constantly, like, erasing things about his identity. And and, you know, that's why he went on Jeopardy in the first place, because he knew all this knowledge to try to fit in with these kids. He, like, knew just trivial stuff. And so we basically what happened was we met up. He was giving a speech at this thing called Techmanity, and he followed Jared Leto, and it was this like crazy, weird, bizarro celebrity moment. And we're there in San Jose, and he's, oh, my dad lives in San Jose, and we had no idea. We're like, what? And so he, within like 2 hours, I would say, we're filming this dinner scene with his father.
Great scene.
Yeah, and it's just kind of this pinnacle moment in the film, and for us to realize, like, wow, there's a lot more going on.
Well, that I wanted that. That's so interesting because that scene, and this is the scene where dad says he's going to pay for it, and the son says, I just want a ton of money on Jeopardy, right? And there's that moment, I think, that a lot of fathers and son know about the power struggle of who's the person, who's, you know, the caretaker and things like that. But there's a moment in that scene where you see just plain super awkwardness. Arthur won't look at his dad. His dad doesn't have anything to say. There's this pause. I had a question in my mind about how much of that, as a filmmaker, do you chalk up to not only an estranged relationship, and one that obviously is going to be the conflict in this film, but the fact that these are regular people, and you're a film crew, and you've got lights and film and cameras on this thing. It almost felt like, I guess, you know, was the awkwardness coming out of the relationship with Arthur, or was it the awkwardness of having to have this dinner with his son who doesn't have that great of a relationship with cameras and lights in his face?
You know, I don't think the cameras mattered. I think the last time he had dinner with his father was probably like a year before that, right? And so after a while, they start to forget you're there. It was a two-hour dinner. You know, we had a cut of it that was 10 minutes long at one point.
Wow.
And of course, that's illogical. You're not going to really put that in the film. But I just think it just really proved that, wow, there's a lot more going on that's unspoken as opposed to what's spoken, what's left unsaid as opposed to what's said. So I think, it's just one of those, like, okay, let's leave it in. Let's leave those awkward pauses in, because that's really telling in the relationship. And he needs his father's affection. He needs that approval, right? He just wants him so bad to say, you're doing a great job, you're following your dreams, and I'm proud of you. And it never happens, right? So that's tough, I think. You could take your Jeopardy money and you could be a lawyer.
Right.
That's not his really.
Scott, goal. How much, I mean, as a filmmaker and doing several documentaries, I mean, where is that? I mean, when you're searching for those emotional moments, how aware do you have to be that you are filming it? Meaning that, you know, there are cameras and that are essentially ruining the, ruin's not the right word, but it's not the the control group. Meaning, you know, like there's one thing, there's a variable in this case that there wouldn't be if cameras weren't there. As a documentarian, how do you deal with that as a filmmaker to make sure that you're getting the most authentic thing in an inauthentic moment?
Mm-hmm. I think, you're always aware that this camera is the artifice, right? I mean, it's always going to be present. So for me, I think it starts in the beginning of the process. It's all about the relationships. It's all about getting his trust and listening and just kind of hearing, just being around, right? Being present. And we were lucky because Arthur was, you know, he was putting himself out there. He was trying to be this spokesperson, this outspoken Jeopardy champion, so to speak. And I think that helped our cause because he wasn't shying away from the cameras
right.
at all.
And maybe in a different case, if he wasn't someone who wanted that stage, it would be a different kind of story.
Yeah, I think so. And we did play around with it being a Jeopardy story, to be honest, because he went back on the Tournament of Champions, and it was a. It was a bit more of like, okay, well, this is, he was on Jeopardy at first, and that's the focus. But it's about so much more. I mean,
it is. Scott Drucker is my guest. He's the director of the new documentary, Who is Arthur Chu? Arthur Chu was arguably one of the most famous winners on the game show Jeopardy. He was able to take that 15 minutes of fame and be able to parlay it into a career as a writer. And also, I mean, he's done a lot of commentary and been able to go after positive change on the internet and in nerd culture. The film will be premiered on Saturday afternoon at the Music Box Theater right here in Chicago. Director Scott Drucker with us. You know, I mean, as you move on as a filmmaker and you think about this kind of experience, what do you want people to take away from his life? Because he's not dead. Mm-hmm. You know, he's also a guy that is somewhat approachable, meaning, you know, he's a writer for whether it be Huffington Post or Daily Beast or whatever. I mean, you could email him and things of that nature. So it's not a subject that's a recluse or a subject that you're like, oh, I have no contact. I mean, we're almost in contact with him all the time because he's a celebrity on Twitter, things like that. So what do you want the story to be the takeaway?
I mean, I think it's just, for me, it's always been about empathy. Like, that's kind of a driving theme in a lot of the films I make, but especially for this, because it just goes back to, like, putting things in a box, you know, and just making judgments. And especially now with how much is going on online, you know, and you see a lot of, I don't want to get too political, but you see a lot of things coming from the administration in an online space and not a real space, so to speak. So I think it's important to just, before you make judgments, to really understand there's more behind this, behind the story, right? There's more behind the, what we see on television, and this visual kind of facade. So I think that's just the big takeaway, is just to listen.
You know, at the beginning of the movie, there's a scene where he reads some of his tweets, and he's an Asian American, and it's just, you know, it's the worst of the internet, the worst of Twitter, racist, a lot of things, so upset and so, like, you could feel the negativity on the fact that he was playing the game of Jeopardy in the wrong way, which I find could be a complete joke. Who cares? But the idea that there was just, I mean, they were attacking his identity, attacking his race, attacking everything they possibly could to say, treat Alex Trebek better. How do you think he handled that? Because in actually being in that spot, he has a point where he talks about it, you know, but the idea that, you know, when he reads it, he's kind of like, he kind of lets it kind of just kind of roll off his back. Like, it's not something that is, he kind of like chuckles. But does he chuckle? How does he feel about it?
Yes, totally. So I don't think he does, right? In the film, he does. It's something he says. But in a lot of ways, it becomes this echo chamber. You know, everything, it's just people could pile on so quickly on the internet, and especially with this idea of being anonymous. And so to me, it's so easy to just hear it over and over and over again and then start to believe it. You know, and I think that begins to happen a bit in the film. I think it does go to his head. I think we illustrate that in a few scenes. And I think that's why Arthur would argue for a bit of control, some limits. You know, he thinks that essentially the internet will propagate beyond control, and we're going to have to introduce, you know, human control, just like there's limits what you could, you know, post at a library or with a flyer or like a club. He says this quote that it didn't make the film, but he says, like, you can't just go to your library and start a club for hating fat people or hating a certain race. Like, that's not acceptable behavior. But on the internet, it is. And why is that? You know, so.
If he didn't have that experience of being in the public eye on Jeopardy and the way that the internet, in some cases, not all, but in some cases, reacted to him, do you think that his desire to affect positive change on the internet would be less intense, meaning, or maybe not there at all? The idea that, I mean, what I guess I'm asking is, is that really what affected him to say, I'm going to take this fame and I'm going to use what's happened and channel this kind of hate and negativity and be able to use it to actually see if I can change the way it works?
I think, I mean, I would hope, maybe not, but you would know that you could only affect change so much, right? Like, he has his little corner of the world. And I'm actually kind of related to that, you know, being in the Midwest. I mean, I made most of this film right here in Roscoe Village. And I think, like, he was in a small town outside of Cleveland, and it's kind of like the same idea, or a part of Cleveland. And it's just, you could do as much with your corner of the world. And that's, and at the end of the day, you say, that's it. I did my best. But I think what really got to Arthur was more this idea of staying relevant. I had my 15 minutes of fame from Jeopardy. Now, how do I maintain that with, you know, just social, being a social justice warrior, as they've labeled him in a way. Right. And he had some great articles, and those articles went viral, and that was awesome. And I think he should just be happy about that and then move on and find something else. But, you know, it's a struggle he still deals with.
Right. And a lot of it has to do with his family.
I think so. Yep.
You, as a documentarian, and did a lot of projects in video, not just documentaries, but what's next for you? A Roscoe Village kid who this is a great opportunity, and to be able to have a premiere at the Music Box. What's it mean to you to have that premiere, but also what does this film sort of give you the opportunity to do next?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved the Music Box. I mean, it's hard not to, right? It's just this historic theater. It's got a great feel to it. Good energy, and I've seen so many great independent films. So it's great that they're giving opportunity to filmmakers like us, independent filmmakers, to still have a voice. So it's important, very important. It's hard for me to understate that. But I'm finishing another documentary, and we're gonna hopefully get that into film festivals next year. It's actually somewhat similar. It's about someone in this liminal space, an immigrant story, more or less. So there's some parallels. And there's something I shot as well that's at the Art Gallery of Ontario about immigration as well.
All right. Scott Drucker, the director of the new documentary, Who is Arthur Chu? Arthur Chu was the wildly successful and controversial winner on the game show Jeopardy. The new documentary is out. It is premiering at the Music Box Theater this Saturday afternoon, 2:30, right?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. I don't know why I put the 30 on there. 2 o'clock. Don't show up a half hour late. 2 o'clock, Saturday afternoon at the Music Box Theater. Who is Arthur Chu? Scott Drucker, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're playing Never Have I Ever tonight for pizza. 312-981-7200. Looking forward to this. I always am like, oh, we got to play Never Have I Ever tonight. And I'm like, people aren't going to text in. They got nothing to say. And then it's just, it's an avalanche. Like, it's already coming through. I love it. And it's great because we get bounce off and we can learn about each other. It's like a kumbaya moment. We all don't do things together. 312-981-7200. What's your Never Have I Ever? The best one gets a pizza.